Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Termical Termal fans, QT and Sun Guy with you here on another Sunday. Merry Christmas Eve to all that celebrate that. Happy Sunday to those that don't. No wrestling at Blue Collar Wrestling or KDW this week. QT, we're getting close to Christmas, are we not?
Yes, we are, and I just bought myself a Christmas present. Yes.
Was it a Casey Carlisle autographed picture, and if not, can you explain in detail why not?
No, it wasn't. I have a Hall of Fame autograph section in my wrestling memorabilia, and Casey Carlisle is ranked second, number two. And her pillow picture ranked number two in my Hall of Fame. So I was pretty good to go.
Well, can you tell us who the top five are?
The top five are my lipstick and dynamite poster. Nothing would top that, would it?
That would be hard to top.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if I had a Gregor Petrov, Buddy Highway, dual autograph card, low numbered, one of five, and I bought that from Devin Bellinger, that might rank up there.
What if you bought it at Diamond at the Mall from Ron, who owns a really nice card shop?
That's a good idea. Yeah. Now, you're
at South Park Bellinger is kind of a quack.
Quack? You mean like an aquatic fowl? How so?
Well, you know, he advertises he has a card shop. He almost has no cards in there.
Okay. You guys have Dungeons and Dragons. Yes, Dungeons and Dragons. And all the dice that goes with them.
I've never seen a Dice Man Ronnie Vegas card in there.
How is a Dice Man doing these holidays? Have you been in touch with him?
No, I think he's doing relatively well, though.
Well, okay. Supposed to have on Destiny Danger today, and hopefully she will start up. But did you know that she started school at Southern New Hampshire University? Southern New Hampshire.
Can you give us the name of their mascot?
That's what I am going to do a Google search on that right now. I'm going to say it's a Wolverine. The Wolverine.
Okay.
One must ask if it is indeed in New Hampshire, because I thought he lived in Utah.
Oh, some people go away for college.
Yeah, but the overhead in tuition would be huge.
Well, still, that doesn't change the fact that a lot of people do, in fact, go away for college.
Okay. And now looking up Southern New Hampshire University. Yes. You signed, while I'm doing this, can you explain, I heard that you had some technical difficulties at Blue Collar Wrestling, the tape interviews. Yes.
Yeah, there were some technical glitches last week. It wasn't the greatest pay-per-view anyone will ever see, but Blue Collar Wrestling did put out their first ever live pay-per-view on the Fight TV network.
Oh, okay. Now, was Greg?
I noticed you were not there last week, QT.
That's true, yes.
Now, did Gregor Petrov contact you and demand to know why you were absent and why there were no rankings this week?
I don't think, truthfully, I don't think Gregor Petrov has ever been a fan of my rankings, probably because he himself has never been ranked number one. I think he bears a grudge.
He has been ranked number one. He's gotten fruit pies for it.
He has? Oh, okay. Never mind.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Okay, I have brought up Southern New Hampshire University. Let me see here. It's a find your program, select a degree level, admissions, campus majors, online degrees. Let me see now, online degrees. You've got bachelor's, master's, and associate. How can you get a master's online degree? How could you? You couldn't, there's not much hands-on experience. Let
yeah,
me see.
Sometimes they don't. They don't require that much in colleges anymore.
Online degree categories. Let me see. Criminal justice, business, art and design. Art and design, don't you have to paint pictures?
Possibly emailing them to the professor.
How can you email a canvas? That's what I want to know. A canvas.
Well, it doesn't always have to be on a canvas these days. You know how the modern technology is.
No, oh, okay. I guess you could send collages and stuff. Yes. Okay. But here's something that would get my suspicions up. Like an online degree in healthcare. Well, you know, it's like when wrestlers get injured, you want to put that plastic cuff around them or that Velcro cup to take their blood pressure. How can you do that online?
I don't know. How can you do it online?
I have no idea. Say like some fireman threw you over the top rope and you hit your head on concrete and no one yells for hot nurse. But that's beside the point. How can you check for a person's dilated eyes? You got to flash a pen light in their eyes to check their dilation of pupils. How can you do that online?
Possibly. They got a lot of great technology out there.
Well, I don't think so. Nothing can prepare you for crouching over someone and shining the light in their eyes and seeing if they're dilated, or holding up your index finger and moving it left to right to see if the eyes can follow. Yes.
Boy, Sunny Days once revived Damon Scythe using her cleavage.
Really? Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess there's... Yes, sir. I guess there's hope. Yes. Okay, here you've got psychology and counseling. See, now, the pioneering psychiatrists, Wundt and Skinner, they'd have to have the patient on their couch. And they'd have to ask them a whole bunch of questions, like about their childhood and if they were potty trained and stuff. How can you do that online? Yes.
Shoot an email.
Oh, boy, I don't know about these things. Well, I guess I could see a patient on a couch that can only communicate by email. You might have something there. Yes.
Now, would it be a leather couch, or would they use, like, maybe some sort of cloth material?
I would prefer mahogany. Yes.
Oh, mahogany. All right. Now, do you yourself have a mahogany couch?
I pretty much not a couch, no. I haven't really owned a couch like in about 6 years. Yes.
That's a long time to go couchless.
I really had to be psychoanalyzed on a couch myself. Yes.
Now, whom in the Pacific Northwest would you say most needs a psychological counseling?
Well, just exciting is in the top seven. He comes to mind right away.
Really? Okay.
Yes. And maybe Dan.
Now, can you give us all of your top seven?
Oh, let me see. I'm going to say... let's see. Damon James is in the top seven. Yes. Jeff Stichside. Gregor Petrov. I'm going to say Little Chocolate Drop. Buddy Highway. Heck Thompson. Christian Andes.
Oh, that's seven.
And, oh, okay.
No, oh, Anna, you already gave seven.
Can I have the substitute in case one gets ill and is not able to make it?
Well, by definition, they would be ill.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Yeah, I guess you've got a point there. Yes. Okay. But let's say if someone suddenly passed away, I'd throw Kiwanis Adonis in there, definitely. Kiwanis Adonis.
Well, let's hope none of them pass away.
All right, hear that. Well, now, wait a second. Sign, who would your top seven be? Who would your top seven?
Let's see. That needs psychological counseling?
Suspected psychological counseling. Yes.
I would go Von Hess, Jackson Bourne, Jeff Manning, Diafula Debashi, Pops Ballard, Phantasma, and I'm going to say Carl Cunningham.
Well, okay, Phantasma Eckes. Okay, very pretty good choice. Pretty good choice. Now, I could see Diafula Debashi, you know, you're concerned about his mental health because he hit you with a beer bottle. Yes.
He really did. It hurt.
And he came unglued when you had a suggestion that you fed him a pork quesadilla, or you claimed to.
Sometimes, you know, pork looks like chicken when it's cooking.
That was a seminal moment in La Problemita history. yes, when he took a bite of the pork quesadilla. He accepted your peace offering, but then things went sour. Yes.
It really did, yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible. Have you yourself got, now wait a second, you put a 7-Up can upside the head of Diafula Debashi, didn't you?
Nope, it was a pineapple soda.
Pineapple soda, okay, all right. Yes. Oh, okay. Now, someday, as the holidays approach, see, I just bought a pie from Sherry's Restaurants. And ironically enough, it was a cherry pie, and I had vanilla ice cream. That's what I'm bringing to the family dinner tomorrow. Can I ask what you yourself are going to bring to the family dinner? Yes.
Maybe a pizza pie.
Well, okay, that's good, because there's rumors out there. Your favorite meal, and I've got my wrestling source on this, is a chicken breast and tater tots.
I don't know if it'd be a favorite, but that's not a bad choice.
That's not bad. Now, when you have the tater tots, sign guy, do you put ketchup or barbecue sauce on them, or do you dip them in ranch dressing?
No, it's usually barbecue sauce. I did use JR's barbecue, but now I've kind of drifted over to Famous Dave's.
Oh, now wait, a Famous Dave's pretty good. Pretty good, yes. Wow. Okay. How about Cattleman's? Cattleman's barbecue sauce.
I don't think I've ever sampled it.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, okay. Huh. Maybe that'll be one of your New Year's gifts, a bottle of Cattleman's barbecue sauce. Yes.
Maybe.
Cattleman's kicks ass. It's pretty darn good. Yes. All right. Well, now let me see. We chicken and tater tots. Okay. I myself kind of prefer ranch or a Thousand Island dressing for tater tots.
I see. All right. No soy sauce,
now,
huh?
Oh, no. I couldn't really. Soy sauce. Well, maybe if I was desperate and down and out on Skid Row. Soy sauce and tater tots. Yes. definitely toward the bottom.
Sebastian Bach was
the
lead singer for Skid Row.
What was that?
Sebastian Bach was the lead singer for Skid Row.
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, the guy with the flowing hair. Yes. I wonder if he's still touring. That's a good question.
I think he does.
Boy, wouldn't that be something if Sebastian Bach could come to Blue Collar Wrestling?
What do you think he would do? Be a special guest commentator?
Commentator, yes. Not bell ringer. I think the Ding 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 Kid has seen the errors of his ways and is now complying within the laws of decent society. The Ding 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 Kid.
Finally.
Yes. Now, Sign, I'm sure you're going to extend your active season in wrestling. Well, or maybe especially if you come and wrestle that Darth Carta. Any plans to wrestle Darth Carta in 2018? Or is he persona non grata and he doesn't exist to you?
I would fight him any time, any place.
Oh, the hatred runs that deep, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does. Now, would you wrestle Darth Carta if he challenged you?
Oh, wow. I think I would. Top priority, though, Sign Guy, and I have worked with Tex Thompson with this, is to take a turn at bell ringing. That would be about the only way it would trump a meeting between Darth Carter and myself. But, yeah, I'd like to wrestle. Then again, I would like to wrestle my heroes.
Wouldn't the bell ringing have happened if you had brought Tex Thompson the package that you promised a few weeks ago?
Oh, I brought that autographed picture of Mildred Burke, yes.
Oh, so he did receive it?
He did, yes.
Well, I believe then, at some point soon, he'll probably have you do the bell ringing. Now, QT, are you going to be particularly nervous to ring the bell?
Myself may have to construct a bell here out of paper mache, and that would be wrapped around a coat hanger framing. So the paper mache would have to dry overnight. Then I'd have to make some sort of mallet to strike this. Yes.
Well, couldn't you just use a screwdriver?
Yes, I could, yes. A screwdriver.
Now, QT, how many screwdrivers do you drink in the course of a month?
One has to ask, Sign Guy, what a screwdriver is. Is it indeed orange juice and vodka?
I believe it's orange juice and vodka.
Oh. Wow. Well, I normally try to steer away from vodka. Yes. I think I'd prefer gin over vodka, because gin is derived from a berry. A berry, did you know that?
Remember Fred Berry from What's Happening? He was great as rerun.
Is he still alive?
No, he passed away several years ago.
Oh, wow. Wow. See, now if I had my paper mache bell, which is paper mache over coat hangers, I could do a 10 bell for a rerun. Yes. That's in hindsight. But anyway, the original question, how many screwdrivers do I go through? Well, I can't remember the last time I had a screwdriver, but I'd say I think one night I had 3 8-ouncers. It was almost Oh, the average would probably only be one. Yes. But
okay,
you know, 8-ounce screwdriver, it depends on the ratio. If it's 7 ounces of vodka and 1 ounce of orange juice, woo!
Oh, wow. I don't know if you could survive that.
Yeah, that'd be terrible. Even Gregor Petrov, who is from the, I believe he is from the Ukraine area. I bet you he couldn't even eat. He probably couldn't even do 3 8-ounce vodkas, even if they were a 7-to-1 1-ounce ratio of orange juice to vodka. Boy.
You don't think Gregor Petrov could handle his vodka, huh?
Well, I don't know about anything over 20 ounces. Because that's a pound of vodka.
No, you know how those Russians are.
Well, they do like to celebrate, yes. That's true. I don't know. I have a penchant for reenacting that scene in The Three Amigos, where they go into the bar and they order tequila. But oh, actually, that's the only thing to drink. That's what I'd like to do. Yes.
With
The Three Amigos. Oh, yes. With Petrov. I make no bones about that, yes.
Well, have you contacted Petrov lately about this?
I think he's blocked my call waiting. That's true, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true for some reason, yes. Now, Sign, as you know, today is the next to last day of the football playoffs. Do you see any chance of the Seahawks tying the Dallas Cowboys and having it go into overtime?
Possibly. I'm going to say it's going to be an 18-18 tie.
I would like a tie. That would throw everything up in the air. You know, let's say the Los Angeles Rams lose, okay, and who's the other team that just took, I think it's the Atlanta Falcons. Let's say they lose, the Rams lose, Carolina loses, but Seattle ties. Ooh, that'd be nice. It'd be pure and utter chaos. Yes.
Well, you do enjoy utter chaos.
Ah, that's true. Yes. That's why I sometimes, in a blue moon, drink a gin drink. Derived of a berry, it's sort of a hallucinogen. Did you know that? A hallucinogen.
I did not. Are you saying that a gin and tonic is sort of a hallucinogenic?
Yes, I am. But a mild one.
Okay.
A mild. Yes. You see, I think, well, here we go. Here, I am going to look up if there is something called a gin berry. I'm sure there is. Because, you know, there's a rumor that the Greeks discovered coffee by herding sheep, and they noticed that some sheep were very energetic and bounding all around after they ate a certain berry, and it was a coffee berry. That's how coffee was discovered. Some shepherd said, wow. Yes, yes, the shepherd said, wow, these goats sure are active. Look what they're eating. What if I boil these in water? That's how coffee was discovered. Yes.
Oh, well, do you know how tea was discovered?
I do not.
You don't know how tea was discovered?
Well, I think someone threw it in a harbor once. Yes.
Well, that happened, but years earlier, decades earlier, what happened was this emperor from China was relaxing in a field, and he ordered his men to bring him some hot water. He wanted to have some hot water to drink. They brought it, and this leaf fell into his water, and they noticed it started to turn the water a certain color, so they took the leaf out, and he drank it, and it had become tea. He thought it was delicious, so he ordered the men to pick some more of these leaves, and he would put them in the hot water.
Now, was this in your Tea Time manual?
Tea Time magazine, yes.
Oh, okay. Have you yourself, Sun Guy, finished with the 15 most important tea people of the quarterly year?
Yeah, it was a great edition of Tea Time magazine.
All right. Now, when was the last?
Have you yourself subscribed to Tea Time magazine?
No, I was going to come up to Seattle and check it out and glance through it first. Yes.
It's a fantastic publication.
I've read all my publications before I subscribed to one. Yes.
All right.
Glance through it.
Now, speaking of Tea Time magazine, did you watch episode 306 of The Sign of the Times?
Was that the toilet edition?
No.
Oh, no, I did not. I myself, sign guy, broke into my new job last night. I did my first watch. Yes.
You broke into your own job? Did you have to, like, take a crowbar and pry the door open?
We come from a long line of burglars, yes. Be sure to tell Laren Goldenson for Amos that. Yes.
All right.
Okay, I have now asked Google, is gin a berry or hallucinogen? Here we go. I think Edgar Allan Poe was into gin. Here we go. Okay. Six things you probably didn't know about gin from Forbes. This is very important. Let me check this out here. Six things. Okay. Now, let me see now. An object in possession seldom retains the same charm it had in pursuit. That's the Forbes quote of the day. Oh, okay. Pursuit. Okay.
That didn't explain it at all.
I wonder if they're talking about stolen cars. That's what I'm wondering about. Okay. Now it's switching me to that six things, you know. Okay, here we go. About gin. It has a fuzzy definition. What are they talking about here? Okay, let me see. Fuzzy definition. When you're dealing with most types of spirits, the definition doesn't leave much wiggle room in rumen. What? Wiggle rumen. That's because most of the requisites for calling a product bourbon or scotch or tequila, ingredients, process, location of origin are fairly cut and dry. Not so with gin, which is defined by its flavor. It has to predominantly taste like juniper. Oh, is that like a juniper berry? Or okay, let me see.
Yeah, there's,
but without
there's a juniper bush which produces juniper berries.
Oh, wow. All right. Wow, okay. Let me see now. Without a governing body to determine whether a batch of liquid tastes more like juniper than, say, cucumber or citrus, two common flavors that weave themselves into gin products, this definition is entirely a subjective one. What the hell did that mean? Okay, let me see. I'll just skip over that. Why gins can taste so differently. Unlike vodka, which is made from nothing more than unflavored alcohol and water, there is enormous diversity in how different gins taste. For that, you can thank the fact that each distiller uses a different recipe. While gin must have a strong juniper flavor to it, and thus tends to involve juniper berries, distillers are free to add any other botanicals they like to achieve their target taste. Citrus, nuts, and spices all commonly find their way into gin recipes. Oh, spices and citrus.
Well, that doesn't sound bad. Confirmation.
Yep.
Gregor Petrov has no clue how many screwdrivers he can down in one sitting. I'm going to guess because he passes out before he can finish counting them.
Whoa, ask him if he has indeed passed out before counting them. I'm amazed that you got a hold of him. Yes.
I did, and that was the confirmation we got.
Whoa. Well, ask Gregor Petrov if he looks forward to QT Votes being a bell ringer in 2018.
I think I extended my limit with the whole screwdriver question. I don't want to push my luck.
Well, you do. Okay. All right. Huh. Oh, now here's something interesting, Sign Guy, and our listeners. Juniper is still picked wild. Here we go. The gin industry uses massive amounts of juniper berries. Surprisingly, these little guys are not widely cultivated. They are usually picked wild by independent workers throughout Europe and sold via distributors to the gin makers of the world. So it's pretty much in Europe. Huh?
Okay. Which, no, includes Russia. Russia's part of Europe and kind of Asia.
Well, now I got it. Okay, well, I'm a little bit miffed here. Isn't juniper developed in the United States, and where can you find it? This is very okay. I got to ask this question very quickly. Yes. Okay. Can I would think that it would be more toward Florida and warmer climate, maybe. I'll check.
There
this.
Is a juniper, Florida. That's the name of an actual town.
Oh, okay. It is, yes. Can juniper berries? Oh crap! Here we go. I got another screen. Okay, here we go. Can juniper berries be grown in the United States? In the U.S. Okay, here we go. Juniper berries. Okay, let me see. Common juniper trees in North America. Most North American junipers are growing in the western states, if you exclude red cedar. Oh, wait a second. Junipers. Well, junipers, a small tree. Boy, that junipers grow in arid deserts and grasslands. Oh, that's not the juniper berry. Okay, here's the juniper berry. Let me see now. Foraging for juniper berries. Wikipedia. I think the United States might be out of luck. Okay, here we go. A juniper berry is a female seed cone produced by the various species of junipers. It is not a true berry, but a cone with unusually fleshy and merged scales, which give it a berry-like appearance. Okay, let me see now. The cones from a handful of species, especially Juniperus communis, are used as a spice, particularly in European cuisine, and also gives gin its distinctive flavor. All right, okay. Juniper berries have been called the only spice derived from conifers. Oh, okay, only spice, okay. Where are they grown, though? Let me see. Uses. Citrus notes. Let me see. Where are they grown? Health effects. While classified as generally recognized as safe in the U.S., juniper berries may have various side effects that have not been tested extensively in clinical trials, mainly due to an increased risk of miscarriage. Even in small doses, consuming juniper berries may affect pregnant or breastfeeding women. Well, okay, let me see now. The Greeks used berries in many of their Olympic events because of their belief that the berries increased physical stamina in athletes. Oh, okay. The Romans used juniper berries as a cheap, domestically produced substitute for the expensive black pepper and long pepper imported from India. Oh. So I guess the Romans used to import long pepper from India.
Wow. Well, maybe that's what Christopher Columbus was trying to find when he was sent to go get spices out of India.
Oh, okay. I could see Christopher Columbus sailing for a Roman port and then, you know, being stopped by a Roman port of call and saying, what's your cargo? Juniper berries. It's a substitute for pepper. Oh, okay, come on in.
Yes. Probably did happen, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure that happened, yes. Well, I can't find anything, Sign Guy, and I do apologize to our listeners if the juniper berry has grown extensively in the United States. I just don't see it.
You have to think that's how Juniper, Florida got its name.
Whoa, wait a second here. Strike that. Here we go. A few North American juniper species produce a seed cone with a sweeter, less resinous flavor than those typically used as a spice. For example, one field guide describes the flesh of the berries of Juniperus californica as dry, mealy, and fibrous, but sweet and without resin cells. Okay, so I guess they grow some type of juniper in California. Very important.
Well, there you go.
Oh, okay. Species have been used not just as a seasoning, but as a nutritive food by some Native Americans. Oh, okay. Now, let me see here. Okay. In addition to medical and culinary purposes, Native Americans have also used the seeds inside juniper berries as beads for jewelry or decoration. Oh, okay. Well, juniper berry. Okay. The seeds. Who would you give the seeds of the juniper berry in a necklace form to? Casey Carlisle?
I'm going to say either her or Bambi Hall.
Oh, all right. Wow, okay. An essential oil extracted from juniper berries is used in aromatherapy and perfume. Wow, aromatherapy. Juniper berry oil. This is very interesting. Okay. And like I said before, the Greeks...
Whom would you give juniper berry necklaces to? And would it be sunny days?
Boy, now that's a very good question. I'd say Casey Spinelli of Canada. Yes.
All right. Now, have you been watching Casey Spinelli much on Impact Wrestling the last few weeks?
I have not. Now, who has she wrestled? Who are some of the competitors she wrestled?
She's wrestled Allie on Impact Wrestling.
Oh, that's not bad. How'd she do?
Well, if she wouldn't have lost the match, she probably would have won it.
Oh, boy. Now, how's her entrance music? I'm always fascinated by entrance music. What's the entrance music of Casey Carlisle?
Of Casey Carlisle or Casey Spinelli?
Casey Spinelli.
I don't know her exact entrance song. I believe it's just something that Impact Wrestling custom made for her.
Oh, now, son, there would be a good job being in charge of the entrance music for Impact Wrestling. That'd be a very plum job.
Yeah.
Someone's got to hit the switch, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Spinelli was involved in a big four-way match recently. Actually, a three-way match. It was Laurel Van Ness, Casey Spinelli, and Madison Rain. That was part of the Knockouts tournament.
Oh, now that Madison Rain's a tough lady. Very tough.
I think all three of them would be considered tough.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. That Madison Rains is kind of like a cruiser in the Navy. A little bit of a contrast from a destroyer. Yes.
Now, wasn't Dick Byers known as the destroyer?
That I'm not sure of. I'll have to do research. Not saying that my juniper berry research was very important. Yes.
Well, I'm sure it was. I'm sure the listeners have been extremely fascinated.
Okay, now, Sign, is the November issue of Tea Time your latest magazine? Is that the latest edition, or is it a quarterly edition and you bought it in October and it runs through December, your Tea Time?
It is bi-monthly. The current one is considered the January-February issue.
Oh, okay, January and February, wow. If I'm not mistaken, your November-December one had those 15 most influential people.
No, that's the January-February. It's just the way that the publishing calendar works. It's the January-February issue.
Oh, all right. Now, Sign, have you gotten all your...
You know how the publishing calendars are different than what an actual calendar is.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. So have you been to the Seattle Free Library lately?
The little free library?
Yes.
I haven't stopped by very recently, but I plan to take a couple things by in the next few days.
Oh, okay. I am making fairly good progress on that Lillian Ellison book. Yes.
Are you up to page 104 yet?
Oh, I kind of mix them around. I mix. Sometimes I just, like, throw it up in the air, and whatever page it lands on, I read. Yes.
Oh, wow.
But I'm
not worried about
damaging
the book that way.
Oh, no, it lands. It always lands on a pillow. Yes, a pillow. Yes.
Is it a heart-shaped pillow, much like Casey Carlisle has in her photos?
I myself am going. You'll be interested in the Sign Guy. I myself am going to produce a line of pillows in 2018. Yes.
Really, a QT Vokes pillow.
Yeah.
All right. Will it have your picture emblazoned upon it?
It will have my picture. Yes. I'd say the quality that's going to go into these pillows are top-notch. I'm sure Casey Carlisle will want one. Yes.
Well, she might.
Well, I would hope that she gets wind of my, how would you say, my entrepreneurship. Yes, that's it. And the entrepreneurial pillow wishes. Or endeavors, entrepreneurial endeavors. And she'll immediately call and say, hey, I hear you're going to produce something. What is it? I'll just say a pillow. And then I'll hear an ecstatic, yay, I want 10 of them. That's what I'm hoping for.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, yes, there's always a chance. Yes. I might even just give one to Coach Mike Jones also. Oh, okay.
You wouldn't sell it to Coach?
What's that?
You wouldn't sell it to Coach? You'd just give it to him?
Well, maybe if there was a Happy Meal involved, yes. Yes, very good.
Uh-huh. Would it be the hamburger Happy Meal, or would it in fact be the Chicken McNuggets Happy Meal?
I think Coach would go for the Chicken Nuggets, I think. Yes. Now, I remember, Sign Guy, when I was going to junior high, that a Happy Meal was, you could still get a hamburger, french fries, and a drink for a dollar. Can you believe that?
That's not bad.
Yes.
Now, QT, did you know that the owner of McDonald's, Ray Kroc, at the same time also owned the San Diego Padres?
Wow, I don't think I San Diego Padres? I didn't know that. I really didn't.
Yes, yes, he did.
Oh, okay. Now, did he own them when the San Diego Padres were doing well?
No, they didn't do so well under Ray Kroc's ownership.
And what years was this ownership that he had?
It would have been mid-70s until the mid-80s, I believe.
Now, in the mid-70s on the San Diego Padres, didn't they have Rod Carew?
He may have played a year or two for San Diego.
I think he did.
I believe Ray Kroc may have been the owner when Tony Gwynn first came up, but I'm unsure of that. I believe he did. We will have to contact Ron over at Diamond in the Mall at Lake Forest Park to see if he can confirm this. He's very knowledgeable, unlike some card shop owners that don't even have cards in their card shop. I don't want to mention South Park Bellinger by name and give him any more publicity than he deserves.
Well, now, speaking, ironically enough, Sign Guy, I have Devin Bellinger on the line, and I'm going to ask him that Rod Carew and see if he can answer. Are you ready?
Sure.
Here we go. This is huge. This has never happened on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show. Here we go. Did Rod Carew play for the San Diego Padres in the mid-70s? And I'm going to say you are slightly live on the show. Slightly live on the show. Our listeners await your answer. And if he did, Carew would have played under Roy. What's his name again? Roy Clark?
No.
Kroc.
Ray Kroc was the owner.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of that country singer. Okay, Roy Kroc. Oh, okay. I am now very excitedly awaiting Devin Bellinger's answer. This is going to be huge. Oh, I got a friend who's typing a comment. Well, now, wait a second. My shop is empty. Wow, I did not know that. Well, that's right. I have plenty of cards here, just not the trash cards you collect that no one else wants. That wasn't
well,
so crisp.
Well, Garbage Bell Kid cards are very popular once again, so I think he's completely mistaken. So, you know, if people want a real card shop, they should go to Diamond in the Mall at Lake Forest Park Town Center. A real card shop with actual cards.
Oh, okay. Yes,
now, QT, you've been to Diamond in the Mall card shop before. I've seen you there.
Yeah. Yes. And
there you go.
And I remember that, not unlike remembering Gregor Petra being ranked number one and actually handing him a fruit pie. I think I handed him out a fruit pie out of fear. Yes.
Well, probably a combination of both. Yes.
Well, yes. I mean, the fear that he was kind of slightly malnutritious in the fruit area. Yes. I've always had a certain rapport with Gregor. Yes.
All right. Now, QT, this will speak to your interest. I noticed at the grocery outlet the other day, the fruit pies are a mere 50 cents a piece now.
Oh, that's not bad. Not bad at all. Usually they're like about a dollar and 3 cents with tax. Yes, getting very expensive.
Boy, well, these are 50 cents a piece. You might want to stock up on them.
Is the grocery outlet, you say?
Yes.
Okay, I think they have one in Longview in the Triangle Mall across from Mark Morris High School. I think their grocery outlet. I can't quite confirm that it's a grocery outlet. But I usually go there, and I think I've seen them as low as 48 cents. Yes.
It's not bad.
Every time I'm taking a trip down to Blue Collar, I try to stop in there and get the fruit pies. Yes.
All right.
Oh, now it doesn't seem Devin Bellinger is going to answer. Gee, I hope he answers by the time the show ends. Let me see. Did Rod Carew play for the San Diego Padres in the mid-70s? Huh. Well, if he doesn't answer within 3 minutes, I'll have to Google search that. Yes. Okay. Very good.
All right. Now, do you think that he's maybe morphed into one of his other personalities? Do you think maybe he's Andrew Mitchell or Andrea Harris right now?
Probably Andrea Harris, a female impersonator. Yes.
Could be.
Now, Sign Guy, did you yourself, as a youngster, collect Garbage Pail Kids cards?
Not really. I didn't collect very many of those.
So you went
with
the standard,
collect
like,
them? And if so, do you still have them in a binder in plastic?
No, never got into the Garbage Pail Kids. What's the difference between Garbage Pail Kids and Cabbage Patch Kids?
Well, the Garbage Pail Kids were more of a parody of the Cabbage Patch Kids.
Oh. Oh, okay. All right. Oh, a friend is typing a comment. This could be his reply. Woo. This is very exciting. Let me see.
This is kind of riveting.
All right, here we go. Daniel Brown. Okay. Rod Carew only played for the Twins in the 60s and 70s, plus the Angels in the 80s. Oh. Wow. Rod Carew. Okay. I'm going to ask him what stars there were on the Padres in the mid-70s. Okay. Just a second.
Okay. Now, QT, did you know that Rod Carew, being Jewish, celebrates Hanukkah?
Oh, I didn't know he was Jewish.
Yeah.
So he's in the same league as Goldberg. Goldberg.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's okay.
Now, QT, can you give your top five all time up to 2017 favorite Padres?
Oh boy, I didn't really follow the Padres at all. That's why I just asked Devin Bellinger what good players were on the Padres in the 70s.
Well, it could be from the 80s or the 90s or the 2000s or even the 2010s.
Okay. No, I really can't.
All right.
Yes. What was yours?
I can give you a top five, perhaps. I'm going to go Tony Gwynn, Kevin Brown, I'll say Ricky Henderson, who I believe played one season in San Diego, Dave Winfield, and see, my fifth one I'll say
Glenn McCutcheon?
No. I have to research. I believe it was the I'd probably go with another pitcher, but I'd have to research.
Oh, okay. Well, I did get a reply from Devin, and he says Dave Winfield and Willie McCovey in the early 70s.
Wow. Oh, all right. Now, Willie McCovey, of course, more famous as a Giant. That's why they have McCovey Cove in the ballpark's neighboring water system.
Yeah, that's a right field fence. And when they hit it out, all these kayakers go after them. I've seen that, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd ever dive into that bay, though. San Francisco Bay water. Ew.
It'd be kind of cold.
Yeah. Well, think of all the sailing ships that visited that San Francisco port and just dumped the raw sewage overboard.
Oh, wow. That's got to be against some environmental laws.
Hear that. And what about the early iron ships that had to be painted? They probably just dumped all those lead chips overboard. Yes. And if I'm ruining any of the appetites of our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners, I apologize. Yes.
You think Steve Barnett unable to eat his pizza pie right now?
Well, is that what Dave Barnett is having, pizza pie?
I'm going to guess so because he loves it.
Oh,
now,
okay.
I came up with my fifth one. I'm going to say Gaylord Perry.
Oh, wow. Gaylord Perry. He must have transferred from San Diego to Seattle.
I believe that was right. I believe that he played for several teams. No, he came over from Atlanta to Seattle.
Oh, okay.
He played in the Padres systems much earlier.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Several teams, of course. He had a very long career.
Boy, didn't, wasn't it like 20 years?
Somewhere close to that.
Just like Dirk Nowitzki of the Mavericks.
Yeah. Or
you
like Tex Thompson.
Oh, boy, yes. He's had a long and fruitful career, yes. Very fruitful. Kind of like the juniper berry. Yes.
That's true, although I don't know if Tex Thompson likes gin.
I wonder what Tex Thompson's choice of drink is.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, although everyone in the locker room knows it.
Oh, wow. Hey, I'm going to have to do some detective work. Yes. Yes, I am. Okay. All right, Simon.
Well,
we're getting...
It's like we're just about out of time here. So maybe we should wrap this nice and neat. Now, I look forward to those pillows in the year 2018. And for the people that need their last holiday gift-giving needs met, I do have T-shirts available. Still not too late if you're in the Puget Sound area to grab a T-shirt. And with that, we will talk to you next week. QT, do you have any idea who we have on the show next Friday afternoon?
Would it be Crazy Joe Pardini?
Nope. As people that watched episode 306 of The Sign of the Times know, it's the progressive liberal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's going to be great. Immediately, I have many political questions that come to mind.
And then a week from today, next Sunday, we have Scott Bowden scheduled to join us, former referee and manager out of the Memphis territory. He, of course, now co-host of the Kentucky Fried Wrestling podcast. Absolutely fantastic podcast having to do with the history of Memphis wrestling. So we'll talk to him next week. Fans, enjoy your holiday, and we'll be back with you next week.
Cool.